my favorite. The whole from Thanksgiving to Christmas. But like Pastor Kathy said, then the day after Christmas is like, okay, we're not looking forward to anything anymore. You know, it's almost the anticipation of Christmas. And, you know, I told you I had an uncle that would come over and he'd shake the boxes. And if it rattled, it meant it was good. If it didn't rattle, it was socks from an aunt, you know. I mean, how many of you really love those boxes, you know? I mean, and stuff like that. But, you know, I've always wondered, too, another thing about Christmas is why in the world, anytime between November, and now it's October, through Christmas, why in the world would any adult with a brain take a kid to Toys R Us? I mean, I've seen so many kids getting whippings in Toys R Us because they're grabbing everything. I mean, it's just, there's something about the season, you know. And so, but kids are fun. There was a little boy one time that was praying a few weeks before Christmas. And he prayed, Lord, if you give me a new bicycle for Christmas, I promise to be good the entire next year. Then he thought about it, about the commitment he'd made, and realized he couldn't keep that commitment. So he prayed again, said, Lord, if you'll give me a new bicycle for Christmas, I'll be good for the next month. But then he thought about it and knew he couldn't keep that commitment. So he prayed a third time and he said, Lord, if you'll give me a new bicycle for Christmas, I'll be good next week. As he thought about that commitment, he made that he realized he couldn't keep that commitment. So he had an idea. He ran downstairs, ran out in front of his neighbor's house, grabbed a statue of Mary out of the garden, brought her back up to his bedroom, wrapped her up in a towel and slid her into the bed. And he prayed for a fourth time. Lord, if you ever want to see your mother again, you're going to bring me a new bicycle for Christmas. Now, you might have a kid like that, or you might have been that kid. I don't know. But, you know, if you think about it, we've all negotiated with God at some point. I mean, in some way. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this, you know. And we've all done that, But let me just talk to you, speaking of Mary, even though she was a statue that was under the bed, you know, we're going to start looking at the Christmas story where the angel spoke to Mary. And you know, it really focuses on Jesus and who he is, but he starts with this. So I want to start early. It said, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's Mary's cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, and the virgin name was Mary. And he engaged to be, a descendant of King David. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think, what could the angel mean? Gosh, I'm skipping lines here, excuse me. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. Now, Mary is a favored woman. Said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, she tried to think, what could that angel mean? And he said, don't be afraid. That typically happens when angels show up. They have to say, don't be afraid, because everybody's afraid. And he said, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him a throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Now, Mary is one of the most incredible women to ever live, but the child she gave birth to is the greatest person to ever live, and most incredible person. So look at Luke at 1:32 again. It said, he will be what? Very great. And he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he'll reign over Israel forever. He's going to be great. Have you ever thought about that statement, what it means, he'll be very great? Or have you ever wondered why Jesus is so great? There's a lot of questions that you'll have in life that are maybe difficult to answer. Like, why did kamikaze pilots in World War II wear helmets? I mean, they're going to kill themselves anyway. Why wear a helmet? Or why do they lock gas station restrooms? Did they think somebody's going to sneak in there and clean them? Or why does a dog get mad when you blow in his face? And the first thing he does when he gets in the car, sticks his head out the window. Think about it. You know the answers. I'm open to that. Here's one for mostly y'all women because y'all like the remote. Why do we press harder on a remote control when the batteries get weak? The batteries are dead. And you're... Or here's one for you. When Siri doesn't understand what you're saying, you yell at Siri. One time I told Siri she was stupid, and she told me, that's not very nice, Robert. I don't know all the answers to those questions, but I do know why Jesus is called great, and I'm going to give you some reasons, so write them down. Jesus is great because he is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Luke 1:31, the angel said, the Holy Spirit, that's God, the Holy Spirit of God will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's great because he's the Son of God. Now, you might have heard people say different times, everybody's God's child. Anybody ever heard people say that? And that's just not true. All humans are creations of God, but so are rocks and trees and snakes and spiders and frogs and all that kind of stuff. Being a human makes us a creation of God. But that doesn't make us a child of God. But however, you can write this down, we can all become children of God through Jesus Christ. That's how we become a child of God. John 1:12, Jesus said this. It said, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so we become a child of God when we accept and receive Jesus as our Savior. So the Bible teaches that those who've accepted Jesus as their Savior, they become God's children, but there's only one Son of God, and that's Jesus. And so we need to understand that. And let me just explain, when I talk about receiving Christ, here's what I mean. I mean repenting. That means you're turning from living your way to God. You're turning away from what you're doing to God, and you're inviting him to come into your life to be your Savior, and you're allowing him to lead your life from then on. So that's what receiving Christ means. And it's great to be a child of God, let me tell you, because then Jesus becomes your big brother, all right? But there's only one Son of God. Look at John 3:16. It says this, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that who? Put your name in there, everyone. You, each one of you who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus is great because he's a one-of-a-kind, unique Son of God. Now, he's also great, write this down, because he's the Savior of the world. He's the only one that's the Savior of the world. Muhammad's not, Buddha's not, all these, Hare Krishna, the Dalai Lama, none of them are the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Savior of the world. The angel who visited with Mary also visited Joseph. And he told Joseph that Mary was pregnant, although she was still a virgin, because Joseph was not happy that his fiance was pregnant. And because he knew he didn't do it, but somebody had, you know. I mean, can you imagine? I'm pregnant, but I didn't do nothing. You know, in the nativity movie, her dad goes, oh, you've done plenty, you know. But the angel told Joseph that she was pregnant and she was still a virgin, and the baby born to her would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Here's what the angel said, and she will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That name, Jesus, is a powerful name. You can talk about God all day long, but you start talking about Jesus, people get squirmy on you. And so have you ever thought about what the angel said when he said, he will save people from their sins. Now, to make some of you happy. I didn't put any blanks in this next line, but I will read it for you. It says, people often need to be saved from bad relationships, bad habits, anybody? Danger, disasters, etc. But our greatest need is salvation from the penalty and power of sin in our lives. And that's what Jesus did. We need to be saved from our sin. We need to understand we're all sinners, one, by nature and by choice. We've got a predisposition to make the wrong choices. We've got a predisposition towards sin. And so we're sinners by nature and by choice. How many of you have ever told a lie? Some of you just did. You didn't raise your hands. Okay, so, I mean, we've all told lies at one time or another. We've all hurt other people. We've all rejected God and God's will and way for our lives. And those actions, as well as others, attitudes, ambitions, all of that, the Bible tells us that are sin. And here's what the Bible says about that. Write it down. Our sin, what? Separates us from God in this life and the next life. It separates us from God in this life and the next life. Romans 6:23, Paul wrote, for the wages, that's what we earn, of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So that verse goes on, you know, while sin earns us death, the free gift, Christmas, the free gift God gives us is eternal life through Christ. And so in other words, when Jesus comes into our lives, he paid the penalty for our sins, and he's forgiving our sins. So write this down. When Jesus comes in our life, he forgives our sins and begins to free us from the bondage of our sin. He begins to free us from those things that are holding on to us, addiction, strongholds, bad habits, irritable attitudes, all those things. In Ephesians, Paul wrote this, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. So he forgave our sins and paid for our freedom from the things that bind us up. See, everybody likes to take a family picture at Christmas, right? Half the time we forget, but I mean, or Pastor Kathy go, oh, we almost forgot the picture. So we make the family come back in from their cars and we take the picture. But, you know, but back in the days before digital cameras, photographers would take somebody's picture, develop some proofs, send those proofs to the person who wanted the pictures, and then produce the pictures once the person selected a proof that they wanted. One time a photographer did that, and after receiving the proofs from her photographer, this woman called the photographers and said to them, these proofs don't do me justice. And before the photographer could close his mouth, these words came out of his mouth. Lady, you don't need justice. You need grace and mercy. Anybody ever had something pop out you wish didn't? But that's the truth. Because of our sins, we all need to be recipients of God's grace and his mercy. And we experience that grace and mercy when we make Jesus Christ the Savior of our life and the Lord of our lives. He's not only our Savior, he's a Savior for the whole world. Jesus said this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And look what he says next. No one, everybody say no one. No one. Come on, kids, say no one with me. No one can come to the Father except through me. See, we celebrate Christmas today because he's God's son. We celebrate Christmas also because he's the Savior of the world. And through him, we receive forgiveness of sins. Nobody else can forgive us our sins. And we experience God's grace. But when Jesus becomes our Savior, he also blesses us, write this down, with abundant life and eternal life in heaven. Abundant life here on earth. That's living a life that God wants us to live here on earth. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No, but it does mean he's going to bring us through it. It does mean that while we might not be happy all the time, we're going to have an inner joy all the time because we trust God, because we know he loves us, we know he's on our side, and then we're going to have eternal life with him in heaven. John 10:10 says this, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Anybody with me want the rich and satisfying life? I mean, I don't want the steal, kill, and destroy part. And Jesus said he came to give that. So he, you know, Jesus is great because he's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. But write this down. Jesus is also great because he's a problem solver. He's a problem solver. Now, I don't think I put this in your notes, but you can write it down. Everyone either has a problem, you are a problem, or you're living with a problem. Don't look to your right or left if you're sitting next to your wife. You either have a problem, you are a problem, or you live with a problem. Wayne's not here tonight. We can't pick on him. So ask yourself, what are some of the great problems in my life right now? Your greatest problem might be your health. It could be your finances. It could be a child or a spouse or a former spouse or job, whatever. I mean, it could be a lot of different things. But there's several problems people struggle with. We're going to look at those real quick. Broken hearts, broken lives, broken relationships, and broken circumstances. And if you're suffering from any of those, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus can fix all of those. He's the solution. Whatever your problem is, he's the solution. Whatever your problem is, whatever your circumstance is, Jesus is the answer to that circumstance. So he's a great problem solver. So write this down. Jesus is able to heal broken hearts. Anybody ever had a broken heart? I mean, I perfected that in high school and college. I mean, I got dumped so many times, so many different ways. Anybody with me? I know Steve never got dumped, but I did all the time. I mean, it just happened. I had a girl give me a Bible with like Romans 5:3 underlined in it about going through tough times. God will get you through, you know what I mean? And then I thought it was really ugly to use the Bible to break up with me, but she did. Another friend of mine was eating breakfast at McDonald's before school, and his girlfriend came and sat down with him, and she said, "Mind if I pray over the food?" And he goes, "Yeah, sure." And she broke up with him in a prayer. That was real dirty. But Jesus is able to heal broken hearts. I doubt there's anybody in the room or online that could say, "I've never had a broken heart," because we've all lost a loved one. I had a friend in high school get killed in a head-on collision. I mean, now my parents are in heaven. All my uncles and aunts are in heaven. We've all lost people. And so, maybe it's just your kids aren't living the way you want them to live, or an illness or whatever. So what do we say with people with broken hearts? Do we say, "Well, Jesus can save your soul, but he's not going to do anything there"? No, I believe Jesus can heal a broken heart. Look what Isaiah said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, the blind will see, and that the oppressed or brokenhearted will be set free." Will be set free. There was a blacksmith one time. I used to like watch Western movies. His blacksmith shop had a sign that said, "We can mend anything but the break of day and a broken heart." Nobody can mend a broken heart except God. God can mend a broken heart. And so I can attest to that. Another thing Jesus can do is he can transform broken lives. If your life's messed up, he can transform it. We've seen that with people that come to this church. Lives have been totally transformed and gone into a different direction. A lot of people live in broken lives, but we've seen lives changed. We've also seen families marred by different things and seen God change that whole situation around. Some people think they can go and break almost all of the Ten Commandments, and they do that thinking they're getting away with it, only to discover they wind up with breaking themselves. A lot of people have broken lives because they've been overcome by temptations and troubles of life. However, those same people, when they return to Jesus, they can find help, forgiveness, and healing of a broken life. Look what Jesus said in John 8:36. He said, "If the Son sets you free, you are what? Truly free." But who sets us free? The Son does. Jesus is also able to restore broken families. Jesus can restore broken families. I've seen that happen over the years. I've been in funerals where it was the first time families had been together in years. We were at a hospital room last week where the brothers and sisters hadn't been in the same room for a long time. And so Jesus can bring healing. One time a man approached Jesus, and he was obviously tormented by demonic spirits, and he acted like a wild man and lived in the cemeteries and was separated from his family members. and anybody that lived a decent life. But Jesus set that man free. But here's what Jesus told him to do. He wanted to follow Jesus around. Jesus told him this: no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been. So he went back to his family. Jesus restored that family. He can restore your family. He can restore anyone's family. Jesus can also change broken circumstances. Broken circumstances. Anybody have a broken circumstance? I mean, we experience a lot of challenges. It might be a physical challenge, could be an emotional challenge, could be a financial challenge, it could be all kinds of things, jobs, whatever. It's holidays right now. Some types of employment are cutting back right now because it's a slow season and whatever. And so, all kinds of things. But Jesus, and I've seen this over the years, Jesus can meet people's needs in unimaginable ways, and then he can help you overcome those challenges in your life. You might say, well, my situation's impossible. And it might be to you and me, but it's not for God. Look what Luke 1:37 said, for the word of God will what? Never fail. God doesn't fail. God doesn't fail, and his word will never fail. And so you need to understand that. He can change broken circumstances. Write this down. Whatever our situation is today, Jesus is the solution to meeting the great, and I would add in there the small needs of our lives, every single need of our life. Jesus, no matter what the situation, he's the solution. Read a story about a kid that was who made his parents a ceramic bowl for Christmas. And on Christmas morning, he was excitedly running down the hall with his gift when he tripped and fell. And when you heard the crack and the crash, you knew the bowl broke. And the child just sat there staring at it and crying. The father said, son, don't, or the child said, don't cry. The father said, don't cry, son. But the boy kept crying. The mother used a different tactic. She got down on her knees. She wrapped her arms around her son, and she cried with him. Then after a few minutes of crying together, she said to him as she wiped away his tears, now let's see if we can pick up all the pieces and put them back together. That's how Jesus responds. That's how Jesus responds to the mistakes, the mishaps, the troubles, the fumbles, the trip-ups. That's how Jesus responds to our life, and it shows what Jesus can do because he can pick up the pieces. He picks up all the pieces of our lives, and he puts them back together. And he makes us better than we were before, better than we ever dreamed of. I want you to bow your heads. So today on Christmas Eve, we want to declare, looking back at what the angel declared and looking forward, we want to say that Jesus is great because he's the Son of God, because he's the Savior of the world, and I want you to be able to say because he's my Savior. And he's great because he's the solution to all my problems. Question tonight, whether you're here or online, is have you made Jesus your Savior and your Lord? See, we can sing Silent Night and all those songs with Christ the Lord, Christ the Savior, but if he's not your Savior, you haven't experienced that. And I want you to be able to experience that tonight. Have you made him your Savior? And then the second question, we're going to pray over both of these. Have you turned your problems over to Jesus? See, he also says, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Meaning he's going to step in, he's going to get in that yoke with you, and he's going to carry you. Have you turned your problems over to him? So maybe you're here and you've never truly given your life over to the Lord. I want to say a simple prayer. It's not complicated. We call it a sinner's prayer. I call it a salvation prayer because if you pray it and mean it, Jesus said you're saved. He said he'll come into your life and he'll live in you. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open that door, I'll come in. He's not going to kick the door in. But if you open that door, he'll come in and live in you. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to pray this prayer. You can pray this silently with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. Thank you for paying the price for me. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I turn from living my way to you, God. And I, as best I can, Jesus, I give you control over every area of my life. Thank you for dying for me, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. And keep your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, raise your hand if you see it. Okay. Now here's the thing, the second question. Well, first, if you prayed that prayer, whether you're here or there online, Jesus just came into your life. He forgave you of your sins. You have now crossed over from being a creation of God to being a child of God. But let me ask you, have you turned your problems over to him? So we're going to meditate on that a minute. You can even come up to the altar while Chrissy's playing if you need to and pray. But think about, it's a stressful time. Even those of us that love it, because we're cleaning the house, we're cooking, we got people coming over, all kinds of stuff. But what are the troubles that you need to give Jesus tonight? What are the troubles? Are you stressing over a job or family or whatever? What are the troubles that you need to just say, Jesus, man, I'm laying them at this altar. What are those troubles? If you'd like to lay those down, just raise your hand. If you got something that came in your mind, and all of us do is raise your hand. And Lord, you see these hands. I want you to just picture yourself giving that to Jesus. I love the scripture that says, don't be anxious for anything, but with joy and supplication, make your request be made known to God. And I've prayed through that sometimes 100 times a day where I'm giving him that burden. And he promises he'll give you peace when you give it to him. So let's just right now, let's give him those burdens. Let's give him this, just hold your hands out like this to him. Just hold your hands out and just say, Jesus, this is yours. This is yours. Whatever that burden is, you giving it to him. Jesus, we pray you take these burdens. Lord, take them. Take them off of us. Because you said you can change situations. You can change our health. Lord, you can bring healing in people's lives. And Lord, for whatever those burdens are, whether they're financial, whether they're emotional, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, God, I pray that each person here would give those burdens to you and let you deal with them, God. But then, God, I pray that you give us the power, because we've got you living in us, to do what you tell us to do about it. So, God, I thank you that you'll do that. Lord, right now I pray also as we leave this place in a little while that we will be a light to the world. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And the band's coming back up, and we're going to sing some more Christmas carol. Don't get too excited. Sunday, I won't let you out this quick, but we're going to sing Silent Night. So everybody get your lights ready.
Sing, and heaven and nature sing.